RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Now, more on New Zealand's current outbreak of avian flu and its potential origins. Joining us now, beaming in from the US, is Dr. Nicholas Holscher, who works at the Dr. Peter A. McCullough Foundation, and he's authored a paper on the origins of avian flu with Peter McCullough and John Leave. Nicholas, welcome to RCR. Thanks for making some time for us this morning, our time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you've authored that paper, The Origins of Avian Flu, and we're curious, how does avian flu get to the bottom of the world and into a chicken farm? Any ideas?
Yeah, so I would say right now the primary avian influenza strain of concern is actually H5N1. H5N1 genotype B313 has been circulating now in the United States in cattle, poultry, wild animals, and humans now for the past few months or so, past few years. And what we found in this paper was that we actually found out on the USDA website that they began conducting gain-of-function serial passage research with H5NX viruses, avian influenza viruses, in Athens, Georgia, in this laboratory. So they take H5N1 and they repeatedly, forcefully put it through multiple ducts to make it more pathogenic or more transmissible. And so they were doing this. And then a few months later, it's detected in a dolphin off the coast of Florida. A dolphin. And this dolphin was about 300, 400 miles away from Athens, Georgia, where this lab is. And so that's unprecedented. And this wasn't a shoddy PCR testing for this. They did a necropsy on this dolphin and they found it all over. It was in its brain. It was in its vital organs. So for some reason, all of a sudden, this strain just began to widely infect other species. And then all of a sudden, it's detected in cows. And now we have this current concern in the United States. Now in New Zealand, H7N6 is not the same strain that we're concerned about gain of function in the United States, but it does raise some concerns that, well, first off, how did it get there? It just appeared in one farm, apparently, of what they claim. But my estimation with that current strain is there's a very low threat to humans with H7N6. I mean, I did a query before this. I couldn't find any past human cases with this particular strain. So I think that that situation in New Zealand shouldn't turn into a massive issue unless the government implements draconian measures, reckless calling and mass killing of chickens that don't need to be murdered. When they find a detection of this H7N6 on the farm, they're just going to end up killing off the entire flock, which is absolutely reckless. It's not needed. This is going to cause food supply chain shortages. This is going to cause more infection. This could cause human infection, as we saw here in the United States and Colorado, when they called a bunch of chickens, a bunch of humans got infected. This entire situation with bird flu, the primary threat seems to be, quite frankly, from our governments.
Right. So gain of function, just remind us again, that's like tuning it up to be what?
So gain of function in general is making a pathogen either more transmissible or more deadly. And so there's various ways they can do this, but But what they've been doing with avian influenza is serial passage, which is just they artificially just put it into a bunch of ducks over and over and over again until it becomes dangerous.
And why? Well, I think I know the answer, but why?
So their reasoning behind it is so they can learn how it evolves, so they can prepare for what's going to come next. But quite frankly, it's dangerous. It's not needed. It risks laboratory leaks. It risks human pandemics, and it should be stopped.
Yeah, well, it's only a threat if they create it, isn't it? Or am I missing something? Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. It's only a threat because they are creating these. And actually, that's not the only situation of avian influenza gain of function. They've been doing it for two decades. Over in the Netherlands, Ron Fouché at Erasmus Medical Center, and here in the United States, Yoshihiro Kawakawa at University of Wisconsin-Madison. They've been playing around with bird flu viruses, making them more transmissible among humans, making them preferentially recognize human receptors. This is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or it was. They've had multiple lab leaks, lab accidents. So this entire avian influenza gain-of-function situation is a disaster, and it needs to be shut down.
The strain that we have, and that is, I'll have to look it up again because I can't commit all these to memory, not the H5N1, but the other one. Do the chickens get over it? I guess they do, like anyone gets over something, do they?
Yes. So with H7N6, there's kind of limited data on that, but you would imagine it's not going to have 100% mortality rate. There's going to be a lot of chickens that are just fine. And so if you let this virus circulate in a contained farm, they'll get immunity to this virus. They're not all going to die. But if you go in there and kill them all with inhumane methods, so they use a foam depopulation.
They're calling that humane, by the way, Nicholas. They've been calling it in their press releases humane.
Really? Well, that's surprising they call that humane, because usually, from what I'm aware of, they either spray them with foam to suffocate them, or they use a ventilation shutdown, which kind of just cuts their air supplies off and heats them up, and they suffocate to death. I wouldn't call that humane by any stretch of the imagination.
There was quite a bit of media activity around this last week when this whole story broke, and they've come out and told us the strain, and you know there's no threat to humans, but it was a kind of performative, I don't know, display. That sort of is a pattern, isn't it? The performance of the reaction.
Yes. It's, just the whole situation is not, the whole government response to the situation is going to cause more damage than this virus itself.
All right, so this latest strain sweeps through. It's no threat to humans, and they start humanely disposing of the chickens. This thing could spread, and that then what has an impact? I think you mentioned it earlier on, potentially on food supply.
That's correct. If they start using inaccurate PCR testing now on all of these farms, they're going to get a lot of false positives with this virus. And so even if they get a false positive, they might end up still just killing the entire farm. It's going to shoot up egg prices. It's going to shoot up meat prices. It'll be a complete disaster and will cause much more harm than just letting these chickens adapt to this virus. And quite frankly, this virus does not currently pose any threat to humans. Again, there's been no human cases with H7NX that I'm aware of, no human deaths with this, so it's not looking too scary. And any attempt to fearmonger by the government with this strain is misguided.
Let's say the H5N1 gets out big time and spreads amongst human population big time, how lethal is it? Because I think people need to know that. How lethal is it?
Right now, the current H5N1 strain in the United States that's circulating has yet to kill one person in the United States.
Really?
Actually, there's never been a H5N1 bird flu death in the United States, never in history. But that's because we have a nice healthcare system, somewhat compared to places like Egypt and Thailand. When they had bird flu outbreaks in the past, there was a lot of deaths. But that's because they lack access to nice healthcare. They're going to end up dying at a higher rate. This current strain, it's very, very mild in humans, and it's possible this could change, particularly if something else gets out of a lab or if it just naturally changes. But currently, the threat to humans, mortality-wise, is pretty low.
Our environmental people at government level are talking about vaccinating wild birds in the wild. I got you on video as well as audio. I can see you just like nodding your head. No. What have you got to say about that?
So vaccinating animals against avian influenza has been shown by a study by Li and colleagues out of China, I believe. They found that when you mass vaccinate poultry or bird populations against H5N1 or any avian influenza, it results in drastically enhanced speed of evolution of the virus and can lead to more pathogenic strains. So they're just kind of, when they mass vaccinate these birds, they're just going to cause more problems. They're going to cause more dangerous strains. They're going to cause more mutations, and they should not be doing this. It's not going to prevent anything that they're thinking it will.
So why?
It's just going to make it worse.
Why do you think they would consider doing it? Surely they've got information.
Because it's the only thing that governments usually think of when there's an outbreak is vaccination. And that's just what they do. That's what they've done for such a long time. It's just the obvious choice to go with. But it doesn't work in all situations, and in many situations it makes the problem worse.
What it does do, doesn't it, is enhances its gain of function of fear, is what it is, right?
Correct. When you start to do these things, it'll create fear among the population. And actually, a study by Gao and colleagues found more population fear of a virus equals higher vaccine uptake. So the more scared people are, the more vaccines they're going to take. And that's the primary goal of these government programs.
To follow on from what you just said, I saw Dr. Peter Hotez. Is it the guy with the bow tie that presumably spins? You can flick the switch and it spins and lights up. The other day, and he was going through a whole plethora of incoming viral threats. Like, first of all, he knew what was coming. But it was just an endless list. I mean, is that guy on drugs, do you think?
Oh, Peter Hotez, just quite frankly, he loves pandemics. He loves injecting people with as many vaccines as he can. And with this virus, these viruses he listed off, he listed off about 10 to 15 of them.
Yeah.
He says they're all going to hit after January 21st, after Trump's inauguration.
Yeah, very specific on the date, wasn't he? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that ties in. So they're going to try and get a pandemic rolling as soon as they can, so they can try and stay in power, because right now they face extinction from being in control of the government, because now this new administration plans actual real health reform, And so they're afraid. They want something that'll keep them in place. They want to still be able to roll out vaccines with so-called scary pathogens. And so we can't just let this happen. We can't let them. They say they're going to release these viruses, or they come on a certain date. I mean, this is dangerous. These people should be investigated. Where do they get this information? Who's telling them it's going to hit on this day? How do they know? You know, so we have to look into this, and we can't give in to their fear mongering either.
Didn't Fauci also make a similar prediction in Trump's first term? He kind of said, "Hey, it's coming. It'll be here." He didn't put the date on it, but he said it was soon, and it happened.
Yeah, Fauci said right before Trump got in, he said Trump's going to face a pandemic. So they tell you what's going to happen. It's just as simple as that. It's very disturbing that they know. And just like with Event 201, also held in Johns Hopkins University with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they forecasted COVID-19 right before it happened, a few months before. And in 2022, they held another one called Catastrophic Contagion. This forecasted a SARS pandemic, a severe enterovirus respiratory syndrome. And so this now raises concerns of what's going on in the Congo right now with this so-called mysterious pathogen that's infected 400 and killed about 100.
Okay, is that something that we need to steel ourselves for the arrival of, do you think?
Right now, it looks like there's a coordinated effort in the media. Almost every single station now is calling it Disease X. They're saying, we don't know what it is. We're supposed to know what it is. We were supposed to know by now, actually, according to officials. We still don't know, which is a bit suspicious. Now, apparently, there's somebody in Italy that had it, that was hospitalized there. I believe they may try something new here. We still don't know what it is. It could be another influenza. It could be some Marburg. It could be this so-called SARS, this enterovirus that they were warning about a few years ago. And they even said the next one's going to target children and young people. They said that in this tabletop exercise by the Gates Foundation. So we have to keep a very close eye on this and deal with it accordingly.
You heard it here, folks, from Nicholas. All right, before we wind up, Nicholas, for those who will inevitably be hearing news and information about avian flu here over the next period, and we're coming into Christmas, what sort of filter should they apply? What will the tells be that they're kind of making more of it than it actually is? Any idea?
How will we know if it? We will. All right, we will know if they are hyping it up more so than it should be. First, we'll have to look and see what the real mortality rates are. We'll have to see if they use the same playbook as with COVID-19, where they go in and they change definitions and they incentivize for labeling certain things on death certificates. So we'll have to look at the same things that happened during COVID-19 and see if they're replaying the same actions. Because then we'll know what they're trying this time. Now, we have to be careful, though, because they have stated multiple times now, Bill Gates, former White House COVID czar, they're warning that there's going to be some sort of bioweapon attack. So, you know, I believe their intention would actually be to have something actually deadly this time. But, you know, so this stuff, all of this needs to be stopped, and there needs to be a full-scale worldwide investigation into these threats.
Well, that'd be revealing, wouldn't it? So the extinction event for these clowns is coming on the 20th of January, do you think? And RFK Jr. has them shaking, quaking in their boots, does he?
That's correct. Trump just came out today and said RFK is going to look at the vaccine schedules. He's going to get rid of dangerous ones. He's going to look at the link between vaccines and autism. So that's going to amplify the fear of all these vaccine people. January 21st is the date of their loss of control over our public health policies that they've held for so long. So any actions or any so-called pandemics or threats we may face, we'll probably see before January 21st.
Thank you for coming on our program this morning, Dr. Nicholas Holscher from the Peter A. McCullough Foundation. Really interesting to have you. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
The RCR Shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR Shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.